Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today in Getting Real with the Housewives, Jersey rookie Rachel Fuda on her friend Melissa's falling out with Teresa.
Like, they need lots and lots of family therapy.
And newbie Danielle Cabral on her estranged relationship with her brother.
Genuinely, my goal was to try to say, like, hey, your sister loves you. Hey, your brother loves you. Let's fix this. I really, really wanted that to happen.
Plus, Gia Giudice slams her Uncle Joe Gorga for being an opportunist. Jen Shah gives an interview the day before she starts her prison sentence. And Ashley Darby uses the L word when talking about Summer House's Luke. We got that plus so much more on today's Getting Real with the Housewives. Hey guys, Christina Garibaldi here with Us Weekly executive producer Mandy DeCamp, and welcome to Getting Real with the Housewives. Hi, Mandy.
Hey, got a lot of news this week.
Lots of news, our first Potomac reunion, lots to get to. So let's, before we get to it, let's talk about what you guys had to say about last week's show. Lily says, aren't we tired of Melissa and Joe using Teresa as their storyline and dumping everybody after they are done trying to help ruin Teresa, like Kathy and Rosie, Jacqueline and Caroline, after the couple is done with them? I don't know. I'm interested to get your take on, like, whose side you're on after this latest episode, Mandy, once we kind of break down. I don't know. I think I'm switching a little bit.
I don't know either. We'll get to it when we do the recap. Yeah. Let me think about it until you get to that, because I went back and forth a lot during this episode too.
Yes, me too.
And you guys in the comments, you're all over the place too. I mean, people are on both sides. This is a heated debate.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah. Yvette says, Jennifer Aiden called Dolores Catania an old bag at the end of episode one after his spat. I think they're both good housewives, but honestly, Dolores is aging before our eyes. Regardless of fillers and Botox, aging happens. She's still beautiful. Well, at least they ended it with us.
Right. I was like, is this a backhanded comment? I'm like, hey, I hate to break it to everybody, but we're all going to get older.
We sure are.
And, you know, God, people are ruthless. I mean, she is beautiful. Will says, Bronwyn Wyndham Burke is not normal, and that video of her eating wedding cake on a bed making strange faces on camera is the reason why she was fired from OC.
I mean, that's so funny.
It's so funny, and I agree. I mean, it was kind of like her erratic behavior that I think did get her fired from the show, and it's like it never happened. It's crazy. All right, well, let's move on. This got a ton of people talking this week, so Gia Giudice was very quick to call out Uncle Joe Gorga after he shared a video of himself running into her dad, Joe Giudice, in the Bahamas. He captioned a video of the pair meeting, saying both walked into the same bar at the same time. A lot of history there. We have memories since we were kids. I'm happy he's doing well and looks good. We were both happy to see each other and catch up. Glad someone caught it. Hashtag life, hashtag Real Housewives in New Jersey. Well, in the clip, they hug. Joe Giudice to me seemed really uncomfortable, but his Joe Gorga's daughter Antonia commented in the section, so sweet. Gia, of course, was a bit more skeptical of the reunion, and she wasn't afraid to say so. She wrote, this is honestly comical, knowing you were with him for not even 5 minutes and were able to have somebody take a video of the interaction. Meanwhile, all you have done is talk so poorly about my father. You're such an opportunist to take advantage of the once in a lifetime opportunity to see my father and use it for a post. Well, Joe Gorga then fired back saying, "We both said horrible things about each other. It was a nice moment. We have a lot of history. Get the hate out of your heart."
Wow.
I love family drama just spilling over on the Instagram. It is kind of opportunistic to have a camera rolling at the time you just happen to walk into the same bar as your brother-in-law who you talk nonstop S-H-I-T about.
So spontaneous. And you and Joe Gorga is the one who goes for the hug. Joe Judas, like you said, looks a little bit uncomfortable. I also just have to note how good Joe Judas looks.
Right. Yeah.
The tan.
Bahamas life looks good.
I just think I am on Gia's side, I think, here. And it is interesting how you're getting Gia's side also on the show this week. Because, like, it's happening in real time. It's happening on the show. And this family feud lives on.
It really does. I'm surprised Joe Judas hasn't entered the chat on this one. He is quick to fire back with a comment here or there, but I guess he wants to leave this drama in the past. But it is true. I mean, Joe Gorga, any chance he gets, he pretty much says pretty bad things about his former brother-in-law. So I kind of agree with Gia on this one.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I'm just watching the video on a loop right now.
Speaking of things being rough, I wouldn't want to be Jen Shah right now. But she has reported to prison. She is spending 78 months in a prison in Texas. But before she went, she released a video interview with a lawyer. And she said, "There's so many emotions that I'm feeling right at this moment, and getting ready to surrender is emotional. You know, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't nervous and scared, because to be away from my family, that's what I fear the most, is, you know, that transition of not being able to hug and kiss my boys and my husband every day and my mom. But at the same time, all of those emotions, I also feel hopeful and I'm motivated to do a good job, you know, and make the most of my time away." She shared that she actually felt a sense of relief now that she is no longer unsure about what the future holds. She says, "For the first time, I'm in a position where I know what is happening tomorrow. I know where I'm going to be tomorrow. I know what my plan is going forward. And so there's a sense of relief that I'm going to be able to put the past behind me and finally start truly healing and forging a new path." She initially thought the government had the wrong person because she didn't think she did anything wrong at first. But now she understands that she made a mistake. She had to take some responsibility, and that she would update us and keep a journal from prison, because I'm sure she's going to write a book when she's done. And she said that she's, of course, going to miss her family terribly. But she had some discussions with them and said, obviously, she made a big mistake.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was expecting a little bit more from her exit interview, if you will. I was kind of like, all right, she's already said all this. You know, there's nothing like crazy that she said that.
Yeah, there was nothing earth shattering. She's finally taking accountability of what she did and realizes that she made a mistake. And I mean, good for that. I mean, I feel like a little too late. I mean, she probably could have gotten maybe 3 years in prison if she did this a long time ago, but she's serving 6.5, which a lot of people still feel is a little lenient. So she's going to be there for, you know, 6.5 years. We're not going to see her for quite some time, if ever again, on our TV screens, at least.
Ugh, it's going to be a long book.
Seriously. All right. Well, let's get into this week's Real Talk. And we caught up with the newbies of New Jersey, including Rachel Fuda, who, of course, came on as a friend of Melissa's. And she revealed kind of where she stands in the whole Melissa versus Teresa drama. Take a look. Did Melissa give you any advice or any warnings before you started filming?
Not necessarily about the cast or like filming or anything, but her and Joe both told my husband and I to just keep it home. Like, keep your priorities in order, keep your family first, your kids first, always make that your priority. And everything else is second best.
Yeah, definitely. I spoke to Teresa recently and she said that she likes new blood on the show. So did you find her welcoming at all? Had you met her through Melissa beforehand?
No, I had never met her prior to filming, but she was as welcoming, I think, as she could be for somebody that's Melissa's friend. I definitely think just being associated with Melissa, we were polarized, which is unfortunate, because I would have loved for the opportunity to really have gotten to know her more personally. But I don't blame her for it. I mean, I probably would have done the same thing if I was her, given the circumstances of where their relationship is.
Right. I mean, like you said, given the circumstances of where the relationship was when you first started filming, I mean, it's got to be interesting, kind of, you know, obviously being on the outside and then coming into this mix and not really realizing their dynamic. Did you realize how strained this relationship was until you started filming?
You know, it's one thing to watch it and it's one thing to live it and see it with your own eyes. And I think for me, that was like, it was really, really difficult to watch because it's the cuts are so deep and there's so much animosity and there's so much sadness and anger and resentment that you don't even see half of it. I feel like it's like they need lots and lots of family therapy.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to like pick a side, especially when you're a new person kind of being thrust into this. I'm sure it isn't easy.
No, it's not. I mean, what's she going to do? Of course she's going to take Melissa's side. It's her friend who brought her on the show, made her a housewife, gave her, you know, a spot. So don't blame her for taking Melissa's side, I guess.
Yeah, totally.
We also chatted with newbie Danielle, who talked about being estranged with her brother and why she tried to mend the relationship between Melissa and Teresa.
You are friends with Teresa and, you know, Teresa and Melissa had some issues. You know, I mean, they've had some issues for years, but especially coming off of the last season. So did you feel like you were ever kind of caught in the in between? Because I know, I believe I read that, like, you know, you have some issues with your family or brother and you wanted to kind of, you know, maybe mediate that situation and hopefully put them back together. So was that hard for you at all?
It was very hard because I was living through them kind of what I was experiencing, but I felt like I could be a mediator. Mm-hmm. And my goal, genuinely, my goal was to try to say like, hey, your sister loves you. Hey, your brother loves you. Let's fix this. I really, really wanted that to happen. I obviously didn't really know the, I mean, you know, some of the history, but the full extent and stuff, because at the end of the day, I still see just two siblings that love each other and just stuff happen. And it's sad, you know, so I thought I could help. I tried to help.
Knowing what you know now and after living this season, do you think that they can get to some sort of reconciliation or do you think that that ship has sailed?
You know, when it comes to like your family, like I'm speaking because I'm a sister, right? You always hope. Mm-hmm. You always hope. But at some point you have to protect yourself. At some point you need to protect your own heart. And if that is causing you pain, which trickles down into being the best wife you can be, the best mother you can be to your family, you got to remove yourself and take a breather. And I hope that's what they both do. And you never know.
Yeah. Do you have a side? Did you take a side in this argument or disagreement?
You know what? I never really did. I'm here to listen to Teresa, obviously. She tells me everything. And when I talk to Teresa, it's a lot of hurt and pain. And what's funny is it doesn't usually always come out like that on the show, what we film, right? Because you see like anger, but there's pain underlying in there. So I never want to take a side because there's two sides that are hurting, you know, and everybody's right, has their right to their own feelings.
She knows exactly what it feels like to be estranged from her brother. She's trying to help, but yeah. I don't know if we can salvage this relationship, but we try.
We try.
All right, let's get into this episode recap. I mean, I was kind of shocked that Teresa said to Melissa, well, you could be a bridesmaid if you want, pretty much.
And then Melissa said something like, that's like a boyfriend breaking up with you and then asking you to get back. I don't know. I don't think it's the same thing as a boyfriend breaking up with you. I think that if she's, you know, giving her an olive branch, why not take it? Maybe the right step, but that did not happen as we know.
That did not happen. I mean, they hugged it out. It seemed like the fakest hug I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I'm so confused about this relationship and like where I stand in all of this right now, because, you know, you get the perspective of the daughters, you know, Gia and her sister were sitting there and basically were like, no, Melissa and Joe weren't there for us when you were in prison and they just came around when the cameras were rolling. I mean, what do they have to lie about? What do they gain from lying? I don't know.
That scene may have made me team Teresa.
Yeah.
Or at least team Judice, where I do feel for those girls and that they, you know, the one girl said it was 5 years of her life where her mom and dad were in and out of prison and going through this crazy legal stuff, which they brought upon themselves, but their daughters did not bring it upon themselves. Right. And they said several times in that scene, they only came around when cameras were on.
Yeah.
That's
sad.
Yeah.
It really does. And like those 5 years, these were like formative years for these girls' lives. They were like, you know, 10 to like 15, like they were really young and they probably could have used a mother figure or a father figure around. Granted, I know they have other family that's not on camera that were probably there for them, but to just come around when cameras are rolling, like that's kind of telling. And then I did understand where Joe was coming from when Teresa didn't invite Melissa's parents or Melissa's family to the wedding, because, you know, they should have been invited. Like, as an Italian Jersey, we invite all the extended families to everything. It's just how it goes. And I mean, if you're having Chanel Ayan, who you've never met before, at your wedding, and you can't have the Gorgas, that says something too.
Yeah. Ramona Singer's going, but not the Gorgas.
Right.
I saw both sides, because I've definitely, like, I have three brothers and sisters, and, like, you know, I can't remember who and what, but, like, I feel like maybe there were some in-laws, maybe.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
You know, I think they all were invited, actually, now that I come to think about it. I think they all were.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't all come, but like, yeah, okay. And I'm not even Italian. So, all right, they should have been invited.
They should have been invited. I mean, what did you think of Joe and Louis's, like, really big fight at the end? I mean, I'm glad it kind of had, like, some sort of resolution. And Louis really knows how to kind of de-escalate some situations. Yeah. I do appreciate that about him. And I do appreciate that he wants everybody to get on the same. Who knows if it's just for cameras? I don't know what goes on behind the scenes. But it does seem like he really does want some resolution and some peace in this family.
I agree. I'm all for Louis this season. I think he's become a bit of a peacemaker. I think Joe Gorga almost flipped a table on him. Yes. I mean, I think that, and even Louis said it in that scene, like, I think Joe goes after the drama too much. Yeah. You know, he likes the, let me pretend to flip a table, or let me slam my fist on that. He's just so over the top sometimes.
Yeah, right.
And that would get to me if I was, you know, in his family in this situation.
Right. And I agree with Louis too. Like, what's he going to say? Like, he's like, my soon to be wife is saying that she doesn't want this person at the wedding. What are you going to go argue with her and say no? Like, yeah, he can voice his opinion to her, but she's going to do what she wants. It's, you know, it's kind of like Teresa's world. And I totally understood that as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, he does try to play peacemaker. As we know, that didn't happen, but it's nice to see him kind of be able to de-escalate these situations every now and then. Yeah. Oh, but there was some other drama that happened this episode as well. What do you think about Danielle and Jackie, this feud that we really didn't see coming? Jackie says that her outfits are punishment in itself, which is kind of mean.
Yeah.
You know, going after this girl's wardrobe.
It's funny, you know, Jackie is showing a little bit of a mean girl side with these new girls. And it's kind of funny. I like it. I'm here for it.
I like it too. And, you know, even though Jackie told us that, you know, she didn't really feel like these girls were coming for her job. I mean, I'm sure deep down she was like, these girls came for my job.
Yeah, they took her job. They did.
Right. Totally. And then we do see Danielle opening up about her estranged brother, which we just talked to her about. And, you know, it is sad because it's obviously taking a huge toll on her whole family.
Yeah. I mean, this is like Teresa and Joe 2.0.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I didn't know this story until this episode, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, whoa, this is like a casting dream. She's Teresa 2.0. And, you know, I mean, not good for their family, but like, it was interesting, like the whole story. It was like, first it started over an Instagram post, but then it started over something completely different that she basically doesn't like her brother's wife.
That's pretty much what it comes down to. I don't think that you would stop talking to your brother because you're making silly videos on Instagram. Let's be real.
I don't think so. I think that was complete BS. And she was like, I guess I'll tell the full story.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting. Very interesting to see where that goes. And yeah, I felt for the dad who was crying. That was sad. And now that it's on the show, I don't know if this is going to help their relationship, but
I don't think so either. No. And then finally, what do you think of Jennifer giving her kids $14 an hour to clean the countertops?
A lot. And that's not vacuuming good. Like she was, it was not good. She was not doing the corners of the room. No. I was like, this is a lot of money.
I was like, oh, they're going to get like $5, $2 to $5 maybe.
No, I was on the husband's side. That was too much.
Too much.
Yeah.
All right. Well, excited for next week. This season of Jersey is shaping up to be a really good one so far. We're just a couple weeks in. But as Jersey gets started, Potomac is wrapping up and we got a little bit more insight on the Ashley Darby and Luke Gumbelson relationship. She said that she was starting to fall in love with him.
No, I mean, geez, I wonder if he's going to watch this and come back crawling back. I don't know, though. Then we hear that Michael, you know, it was this reason that they broke up, which we kind of guessed. But to have it said, kind of was like, really? You let Luke get away because of your ex?
I know, of your ex. And, you know, they said like off camera that, like, you know, they got into a fight and she thinks that they are done, but you're falling in love with somebody. And even Andy was like, went from like Michael Darby to like Luke, the hockey player model. And I'm sure it was very intimidating for Michael to see that. And, you know, it's got to be hard, but, you know, there's kids involved. Like she had to like get him out of her, her house because, you know, Michael was coming back with the kids. I'm sure that's like, all right, what am I kind of getting myself into at this point?
Yeah, maybe it was just too soon, you know.
Could be.
Maybe it was too much too soon. She didn't know how to navigate dating her kids and her ex.
Yeah, but
still pays for her mortgage.
Still pays for her mortgage and had her sign this ironclad prenup and she's not getting anything. She's not getting alimony. No. You know, there's a few stipulations here and there if she's like really hurting for cash, but he really kind of blocked her out of this one, which is sad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really sad. I don't know. I hope that she can move on from Michael fast and take whatever she can.
Take whatever she can get. And speaking of no money, Mia is now left living off of her savings because this story confused me. I'm still so confused about how many people are on the board, who kind of kicked her and her husband out of this business. There were three people, then there were eight. I still don't know what's going on. And Giselle kind of accusing her of embezzlement. It seems like something shady definitely happened. And like they said, they were trying to get ahead of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Very confusing.
She cleared up her health rumors. Seems like she's doing well with that. But it really came down to Candace and Giselle. Candace telling Giselle to shove her apology up her ass. and then said her dwindling uterus was waiting for her to put this on TV. Candace comes back with the best one-liners.
The best.
But it's, you know, it kind of makes you think, did Giselle just wait for the cameras to start rolling to kind of make these accusations against Chris, which it kind of seems like since Candace said that she saw her several times before cameras started rolling.
Yeah.
Giselle saying that Chris admitted to making her uncomfortable, which he didn't. The whole thing, it really seems like they were stretching and kind of threw him under the bus for no reason. And he was the target this season.
Yeah. I feel like we said that every week watching Potomac. I felt bad for Chris. Obviously, we'll never know the full story, but I'm on Team Chris here.
I'm on Team Chris for this one too. And he comes in I believe next episode of the reunion. So it'll be good to hear his side of the story. And it just really stinks because the real storyline of the season was Juan, like kind of stepping out on Robin. And we did not get that until after the season was ending. Yes, we're going to see more of his interview with Robin on Watch What Happens Live that we didn't get to see before, but it was such like a missed opportunity and other people had to take the fall for Robin kind of keeping this secret when you're not supposed to. You're a housewife. You're supposed to let it all out there.
Well, Andy Cohen totally calls her out on it. He says, you know, you didn't share this during the show. Mm-hmm. Put it behind a paywall.
Right.
On your podcast. Like, he, you know, I wonder if she'll be back next season after that.
I could see Andy like punishing her for this yeah. one and just being like, if you're not going to be truthful and if you want yeah. your fans and viewers to pay for this, well, then go ahead and do that. I'm not going to pay you.
Right.
So yeah. we'll have to wait. Yeah. Please let us know in the comments if you think yeah. that Robin should be back the next season or, you know, she should be punished. I don't know. We'll have to see. All right. Let's get into our social spotlight of the week. Who caught your attention on social media?
Well, speaking of Andy Cohen, he posted this video of his daughter Lucy laughing for 52 seconds. We don't have to hear the full 52 seconds, but we'll play a few seconds of this. It's so adorable.
It's just, oh my God.
Put an instant smile on my face.
Oh my God. She is adorable.
She is so cute.
Oh, I love to see it. I love it. And mine went to Bethany Frankel. She posted this selfie of she and Kyle Richards saying almost 30 years later, lost parents, marriages, a gaggle of girls, reality shows, health scares, and a whole lot of life. We still have a lot to talk about and laugh about. Plus, I got a good, of her daughter, Farrah Britt, cameo, who I've known since she was a baby. Today was a good day. So it's nice to see them vacationing. They're in Aspen. Wish there were cameras around and for that one, but it's nice yeah. to see them kind of get together and maintain this long friendship.
Love their wardrobe. Love it.
Love their wardrobe.
Love her sunglasses. Oh my God. Go over the top. Her cowgirl hat. Everything about it.
I will love to see it. Love it. All right. Well, that is it for this week's episode of Getting Real with the Housewives. If you want some more Housewives news, head on over to usmagazine.com. Keep commenting, keep subscribing, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye.